From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
She has been able to balance an academic load with a strong athletic record and serve others while doing it. All of her life, Sadia Doyle has understood giving in a special way. Now she's preparing to continue that legacy. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and today on The Journey, my guests are 2015 December graduate Sadia Doyle and Howard University Interim Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations, Laura Jack. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So starting with you, Ms. Doyle, you were born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. Tell me a little bit about your experience growing up. What was your family life like?
I was raised by my maternal grandmother and grandfather because my parents both suffered with addiction. And by my grandparents adopting me, it prevented me from going into the foster care system, which I really appreciate. They were very supportive. And the only thing that I ever had to do was excel academically.
Okay. Now, obviously, you also excelled athletically as well. So tell us a little bit about that and how you balance your academics with your athletics.
My grandfather allowed me to do whatever my heart desired as long as I maintained a 3.5. So in middle school, I was able to join the basketball team. And in high school, I was able to continue on with basketball and a few other sports. And through that, I was awarded an athletic scholarship to attend Howard University. And the strong mindset that academics come first remained with me. And the focus and always sticking to a regimen is what allowed me to graduate from Howard and return again as a graduate student.
And what position did you play?
While I was here, I was the power forward as well as the small forward.
Okay, so for those of us who liked a James Worthy, you were the James Worthy for Howard Bison.
More like Dennis Rodman because I was a beast on the boards.
All right. I stand corrected. So you received your bachelor's degree at Howard in health education with a minor in economics. But that was not without the help of a scholarship for your tuition. You received the Ronald M. Simon Family Foundation. What did that scholarship mean to you in terms of your ability to matriculate? Yes, you were on the team as well, but that scholarship obviously was also helpful.
The Ronald M. Simon Family Foundation was created to help students that had overcome some type of adversity. And so for me, it was my upbringing. And that just helped me to realize that people want to see you succeed and that they are willing to support and invest in those that seem to have a promising future. And with that type of support, both emotionally and financially, it allowed me to take more classes here at Howard that was outside of my major and minor to become a more well-rounded student.
Right. Now, let me bring Ms. Jack in. Ms. Jack is our Interim Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations. She came to us from Johns Hopkins, and where she's also worked in the commercial arena in the area of marketing and branding. So in your new role, Ms. Jack, these types of scholarships and support, give us a sense of what it means for donors to do that and what you think the motivations usually are for donors to make those types of contributions.
Absolutely. I think it's just the story that Sadia shared with us. I mean, they want to see what impact their money and their contribution can have for the future of Howard and Howard students, not only for, you know, what it did for Sadia, but also now she's going to go out into the community and give back and impact a lot of lives in a positive way. And their gift then is able to kind of expand through that.
Now, with that in mind, I mean, the average Howard University student in undergrad is a student coming from low-income circumstances, which is contrary to what I think most people think. Most people think of, a different world and those types of characters where middle class and upper class families are dropping their kids off to Howard University, and that actually is not the case. So with that in mind, how necessary is that contribution for the average student? We've heard Sadia's story, but is that really the average or typical Howard student?
Absolutely. 60% of our undergraduate students are Pell Grant eligible, meaning their family has the lowest ability to contribute to their education. With that number of students having that grade of need, the university ends up contributing over $100 million a year in institutional aid for students to be able to continue their studies. So, you know, these types of contributions and scholarship funds impact greatly, you know, our student population.
Now, you mentioned, Sadia, that you are now you decided to pursue your education further in graduate education. To do that, did you continue to get that type of donor support or scholarship support?
Yes, and it was even more beneficial for me as a graduate student than undergrad because I no longer had the athletic scholarship. So the huge impact was housing. Like I mentioned before, I'm from Georgia, so not having somewhere to stay in D.C. would drastically impact my abilities to excel academically. And then also it provided an opportunity for me to buy groceries and things of that nature so that I didn't have to pick up multiple jobs to offset the cost of attendance.
You're listening to The Journey. My guests today are Sadia Doyle and Interim Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations, Ms. Laura Jack. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, just to continue along the lines of the support you need, I think sometimes when we talk about support for students, people may get the impression that we're trying to get students in the most luxurious circumstances, driving cars and doing those types of things. Tell us about the lifestyle that it was afforded you and what role and how much of a priority your education and studying was in the bigger scheme of things.
Education is always number one, and as it relates to the living style, it's not some luxurious 5-bedroom home or driving the latest car, because I definitely take the metro and I live in the East Towers, but the support makes you think that it's not a waste of time. And when times are very difficult and you're under a lot of stress, it's always good to know that there's somebody that's in your corner rooting for you. And for me, thanks to the contributions of the donors, it's people that I will probably never get a chance to meet, but I know that they still care. And they're as devoted to me succeeding academically as I am, as my grandfather and my grandmother were. So it encourages me to not only do my best, but do my part to help someone else when I'm put in a position to assist.
Now, Ms. Jack, as we engage the community at large about giving to Howard University, people often point out the fact that we receive a significant federal appropriation that supports the university. How do we put that in context for the overall expenses it takes to allow everyone to afford the education we're providing here?
Sure. So the federal appropriation ends up accounting for about a third of the revenue that Howard University generates in a year. But to put that in context, if the federal appropriation is around $200 million and we're distributing $100 million in student institutional aid, it still leaves a huge gap in terms of the need that students have and how much more we could be doing.
And in terms of donations, what are the opportunities for giving? We've had Giving Tuesday, which is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, 2 years in a row. How successful is that? And then what are the other avenues that people can give?
Sure. So Giving Tuesday is a fairly new initiative. It was launched a couple years ago through the YMCA and a couple other nonprofits. Last year was the first year that we participated, and we had about 325 donors with contributions just over $100,000. This year, we doubled the number of participants with 626 donors and raised just about $136,000, which you know, in the grand scheme is fairly small, but we were very excited to increase the number of participants. And we saw a lot of feedback on social media with, you know, people chiming in and alum, you know, expressing how important it was for them to give back to Howard. In terms of other ways that folks can give back, you can visit the website and look at the various opportunities. I mean, you can make contributions such as Giving Tuesday. You can include Howard University in your will. You can, you know, donate goods and services. I mean, the opportunity is really endless, and it's to the donor what works for them or what are they interested in to participate with Howard.
And what is the money used for in general, if you could break that down for when people do make donations to the university?
Sure. It's used for whatever the donor designates it for. So a donor could say they want to support graduate students in social work, or they want to support med students, or they want to give an unrestricted gift that the university can decide where the greatest need is. It really it depends on what the donor's wishes are.
And how do you guarantee donors that the intent of their donation will be fulfilled?
So now there's a donor agreement, not to get too to the minutia of it, but there's a donor agreement that basically outlines exactly how they would like the funds to be used, and then there are reports that are shared with them to show them what has happened.
Okay, and the intent is to provide those reports on an annual basis.
Absolutely.
So they can see who was spent. All right, and what are some of your long-term goals that you have in mind?
I would like to open up a one-stop shop health and wellness facility to cover the components of social work as well as athletics, because those two things have had a huge impact on my life. And recently I learned that Clemson and Vanderbilt have a social worker on their athletic staff. So finding a way to continue to integrate athletics and social work is definitely what I plan on doing over the next few years.
I want to go back to where you started in terms of bringing that full circle. You know, obviously your grandparents really had you focus on academics. And as we look at health and wellness, nutrition, all of those appear to be social determinants of the ultimate outcome, whether it's in health or education. Now, you spoke about maintaining a 3.5. What GPA you graduated with coming out of high school? Since to play sports, you had to maintain a 3.5.
My unweighted GPA was a 3.96.
Okay, unweighted.
Unweighted.
All right, I'll accept that. But looking at the other social determinants, what are the other things that you felt your grandfather and your adopted kinship, as it were, put into you to really instill and make sure that those things were ready? So were you coming home to a warm place on a regular basis, you know, having meals prepared, things of that nature that we sometimes take for granted, but we know are challenges in some of our communities?
Unlike some of my classmates from high school, I never had to worry about where my next meal was coming from, or if I went home and the lights weren't on, maybe the light bulb just needed to be changed, or perhaps there was an outage in the neighborhood. But I became aware that that's not the reality for everyone. And that's something else that motivated me to go towards social work, because I don't think those are the conditions that our future should be raised within.
And it's great to hear you talk about, you know, going back full circle to make sure that everyone else can experience that. Ms. Jack, as we close, why give to Howard University?
I think giving to Howard is helping to pave the way for future generations, for future Sadias and future, you know, students that are going to make a difference in this world.
And you think in 2015 that need is still there? These students can go to any school in America. We have laws on the book that allow for integration of our higher ed system. Why Howard University?
Howard is just an amazing place for students to grow and learn and go out and change the world.
Thanks for being here. My guests today have been Sadia Doyle and the Interim Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations, Laura Jack. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and I think it's clear to say that Sadia Doyle is probably going to add to the legacy of Howard as she continues her journey on the backs of donors like yourself who are listening, who have given and contributed to Howard University. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR World on HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, glasshouseradio.com, HUR Voices Sirius XM 141, HBCU Sirius XM 142, and 96.3 WHUR Washington.